great message to remember. Oh, what you've given me. I love it when Sonny somehow finds the perfect song to enter into what I intended to speak about this morning. But you've done it again. So praise the Lord, power of the Spirit. Amen. I was watching TV earlier this week, something that I'm not really accustomed to. Yesterday morning, I discovered that there had been a worldwide outage of some kind that was an impact. And I'm like, really? You know, I was not aware of that. So it was a shock to me. So I kind of stay unplugged anymore these days. I find I don't get aggravated nearly as much as I used to. But I was watching something earlier this week, and it was different ones giving different speeches about what's going to happen and what's next. And it led me to the book of 1 John and in chapter 2. And, you know, this reminder, oh, what you've given me, that everything, every good and perfect gift has come from above. And that he is the one who is sovereign, and he's the one who's watching over us. He is the one who will protect us. And he is the one that causes all good things to happen. And it's just, I look at the way, the things that we love in the world and the way that we view different things that occur. And I've heard different ones. I heard in one speech somebody say that the devil had visited Pennsylvania and saved Donald J. Trump. And I thought, well, you know, God is sovereign in the fact that Mr. Trump turned his head right when he did. He is sovereign in that. But there was another gentleman that died that day. And if we remember, God was doing good in both of those situations. And if we remember that gentleman's family and the lives that he had touched, God wasn't just doing good in what he did with Mr. Trump. He did good in everybody who witnessed it, everybody has heard of. He's doing good in everything. But it's really the things that we value. And that's what drew me to 1 John in chapter 2. In verse 15 is the warning, do not love the world nor the things in the world. In other words, it's not what the world says. Don't fall in love with what the world says. It's not what the world says is good, what's right, what's best, what you deserve, how the world says that you should go about getting these things. You know, Mr. Trump stood up and yelled, fight, fight, fight. I'm not making any judgments against Mr. Trump. I'm just saying, that doesn't look like Jesus. And so I understand the emotion. I understand what's going through that. But we need to not allow that to take us away into an arena where we don't belong. And so we come out of the emotion of it and say, okay, but what looks like Jesus? And not fall into that trap. The world tells us that we deserve these things. Another thing that I heard in another speech is we deserve better. And I would challenge our thinking and say, no, we don't. What we deserve is death. We have been through grace given eternal life. So we don't deserve better. We deserve ungood things, if you will, but because of the fact that the Lord has given us the opportunity to receive him, receive the love of the truth, and follow him, then he promises us eternal life with him, and that's fantastic. But here's the way that the world thinks, and I started down a little hole, and it got really dark, so I got back up to the top as quick as I could, but I looked at some of the things that people say that we deserve. The world says we deserve to be happy. One person suggested, you go get what you deserve. The amount of effort you put in determines the amount of joy you receive. So the joy, I guess, is something we control. There's nothing about the Lord in any of this. Dedicate yourself to the good you deserve. Give yourself peace of mind. You are too special to be anything but happy. You know, it's amazing the way that the world takes truths and just conflates them, and all of a sudden it lies in our power and our responsibility to do these things instead of us throwing our hands up in the air and saying, Lord, I am a miserable wretch. This is, if left to me, there's nothing good in me. The only good in me comes because of the Spirit, your Spirit being in me. And so, but that's just not the way that we think. If we go on in verse 15, it says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Well, what's the lust of the flesh? It's that carnal desire in each one of us. It's that the desire for pleasure. It's sensual desires. What makes me feel good? Paul in Galatians chapter 5 will tell us, but I say walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You see the conflict that he draws between law and flesh are connected, and Spirit is set aside, right? They're against each other. So in Romans chapter 8, Paul says, he says, the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. So do you have peace in your life? If not, you're not walking by the Spirit. Something else is controlling you. And it may be one of these lusts that Paul's talking about in Galatians. It may be the desire for the things of the world. And that's the warning. The mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. It can't please God. And if I'm living according to the flesh, I must die. That part of me must die. He goes on in Romans 14 to say, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. We're kids of God. We're sons of God. We're going to share in the inheritance with Christ. But we get ourselves worked up about these things that we see going on around us, and then we start thinking that we have the power to do something about it. And I'm not saying don't be involved. And I'm not saying God doesn't call different ones of us to be involved at different levels. That's fine. You've got to follow the convictions of your heart and what the Lord's telling you to do. But what I'm telling you is, ultimately, if you look close enough, we're fighting one end against the other, and it's two ends of the same spectrum. I mean, that spectrum comes around in a circle. And what God is showing us is evil is out there. He tells us we're not fighting against flesh and blood. So quit getting mad at your brother. Quit getting mad at somebody who just doesn't see things the way. You don't have to agree with them. But quit getting mad at them, because it's not those people that we're fighting against. We're fighting against forces that we can't even see. Then all of a sudden we throw all of our support, all of our energy, all of our effort behind something, and we come to find out later on that that wasn't true. But there is one who is true, and we find him in the pages of this book. But we've got to get to know him, and we've got to stay focused on him. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. These days, there's lots of stuff going on that we wish weren't going on. It impacts different lives differently. And so we all respond according to the way that it's impacting our lives, but we all have the same opportunity to trust in and to believe in the same Savior. And that's where our peace comes from. He goes on to say, "For I consider the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us." And when is that? That's when we're in glory. It'll be revealed. Back to Galatians chapter 5, he says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry." What is it that we thirst or hunger for? What is it that we pursue? What is it that is distancing the relationship that we have with the Lord? What is it that's more important than that relationship with the Lord? That's idolatry. Sorcery, drugs, mind-altering things. I'm not happy where I'm at. I need an escape. Different people choose different routes to go. And so, but the reality is, if I'm looking for an escape, then it means that I'm not turning to God. I'm looking for something else. He says enmity, strife, jealousy, anger. Here's the thing. Anyone who stands in the way of me getting what I want becomes an enemy. And you don't see that right away, but it can creep into your life, and the next thing you know, you're hostile toward that person because I want what I want, and by golly, I deserve it because all these people told me I did. And I can find a list of 110 other things that I can call true, and by golly, I deserve it, and you're standing between me and it, and I'm not happy about it. Outbursts, anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, things like these of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things there is no law. You know, if we're walking in the Spirit, these things are going to be evident in our lives. We're not going to have to focus on trying to do them. It's just going to be an outpouring, a natural outpouring of who we are internally. And so it's a good indication if I'm not doing those things, then I'm not walking by the Spirit, plain and simple. Good news is I can turn to the Lord. I can confess that, and He'll welcome me with open arms. He'll welcome me back. My point is the problem isn't the man in the seat. The problem isn't the party that is in power. It isn't your spouse. It isn't your boss. It isn't your kids. It isn't your neighbor. It's you and me. The problem is within each one of us, because each one of us has a decision that we are free to make, and that's to say, I'm going to quit living for myself. I'm going to start living for the Lord, and my desire is to glorify Him in everything that I do. I want people to know He is real. And the best way to show that is a change in my own life. And Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the right thing. And whether or not anybody even sees it, I'm going to do it because I know it's pleasing to you. And that's my desire. The lust of the eyes, simply the things that we see. It's the desire for stuff and more stuff. I don't know if any of you have ever watched the show Veggie Tales, but I love Veggie Tales and Madam Blueberry. And her trip to the Stuff Mart. And it's hilarious, but what a great, powerful message. Because she thinks going to the Stuff Mart is going to make her happy. And what's it make her? It makes her blue. And it's such a wonderful picture that we pursue the wrong things. And it goes back to the garden, you know, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Eve sees something. She goes, ooh, shiny. There's something I want. And her husband goes, okay, honey, I mean, God's been very specific. Don't do this one thing. But it's the lust of the eyes, seeing that you don't have and desiring it. The boastful pride of life. It's not only desiring power and prestige, but it's the sense that I've got this. You know, I can do this. I don't need to talk to God about this. If it's to be, it's up to me. I took on that trade line for a long time. People kept telling me I needed a college education, and I didn't have a college education, so I thought, okay, I'll just go do it. By golly, I'll show them. And who ended up getting shown was me, because I went and did, and then it all went away. And God said, okay, now. Wasn't as fulfilling as you thought it might be, right? I said, right. He goes, you think you need me? And I said, I know I need you. I said, I made a mess out of my life. You're the only one who can straighten it out. And so, and that's what I want to do. So it's not up to me. James warns us about this in chapter 4. You know, you say you're going to go to such and such a city, spend such and such amount of time, you're going to make money, you've got all this stuff laid out. And he's going, no, you don't. You don't have control over any of it. You're not guaranteed the breath tomorrow. So what is it we're valuing? Are we valuing the things of the world? Are we valuing the things that the world tells us is valuable? Or are we valuing what the Lord says is valuable? And are we desiring to please Him in all that we do? So as we go into this season, we're going to see more of this stuff, of what we deserve. And, you know, what we deserve, again, is death. But what we've been given through the grace of God is the promise of eternal life. We need to hold on to that and start storing up our treasures in heaven and forget the ones that we've stored up here on earth. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the clarity that you give us. You've not made things difficult. You've not spoken in secret, dark places. You've spoken very plainly in your word. And Lord, you're guiding and you're directing us. You know what's best for us, and you're encouraging us. Just believe. Just believe that you love us, and Lord, we just love you back in return for that love. And Lord, we follow you, not out of a sense of I have to, but out of a sense of, Lord, I want to please you. I want to please my Father. And Lord, we thank you that you give us the guidance and the direction to be able to do that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.